Well, hello everybody, this is Stephen Bennett. I've got my great-grandfather's harp guitar, a Dyer Brothers, which of course means that it was made by the Larson Brothers, and it's serial number 669. I guess there's a little bit of debate about the exact age of it, but it has a 1909 handwritten on the label, and I didn't put it there, so I always think of it as a 1909 instrument. This is now March of 2009, so the instrument is 100 years old, more or less. I say it belonged to my great-grandfather. In fact, it was my great-grandmother's, on my mother's side. It was her second husband, although they were married for 50 years or so. It's who my mother knew as her grandfather, even though technically we weren't blood relatives. But his name was Edgar Pierce, and he lived in the Pacific Northwest for most of his life. He was born in New York State and then moved out to the Northwest. His brother had a business, I believe it was had something to do with electrical work in the Portland, Oregon area. My great-grandfather came out, I think, when he was about 20 years old. He was born in 1885, by the way. At some point, he started playing music, and he played up in saloons in the Yukon. He played in bands, playing in pool halls in Seattle in the Pike Street Market area. And I also know that he played on the radio in Portland, Oregon on KGW, a station that is currently still in existence. And back in the 30s, there was a fairly popular radio show called the Hoot Owl Radio Hour. And my great-grandfather was one of the Hoot Owls. Another Hoot Owl was Mel Blanc, who went on to become famous as the voice of Bugs Bunny and many other cartoon characters. So I don't know if they ever actually worked together at the same time as Hoot Owls. I have no way of knowing that, but I like to think that they did, and they certainly could have, it seems. My great-grandfather played the harp guitar for quite some time throughout his life, and played it up till his death in 1968, and at that point he was 83 years old. I only ever really heard him once, possibly twice. I was born in Oregon, but wound up growing up in New York. Even though I was born in Oregon, I didn't really know my relatives in Oregon very well at all. They were people I talked to occasionally on the phone on a holiday, or maybe I would get birthday cards from, that sort of thing. I just didn't really know them. We made family trips driving across the country in 1963 and 1965. And I think it would have been 1965 that I heard my great-grandfather playing the harp guitar for just a little bit. And I would have been 9 years old then, so I really don't remember it very well. But I sort of can dimly remember him seated with that instrument and playing it some. And that would have been at a place where he spent quite a few decades living, on the Oregon coast, a place that is called Sea Rose Beach. It's between Florence and Newport, Oregon. And it's a place that is still in the family. In the early 30s, my great-grandfather and great-grandmother were down looking around on the Oregon coast for a piece of property that they were, would like to buy. And they were just sort of poking around down there one day. And they came across Sea Rose Beach. And they came across a fellow there who had a little cabin and who owned a couple of acres there. And I guess he wanted to get out of there and offered to trade them the property for the car that they were driving. And so that's what happened. And they arranged, somehow or another arranged that. And that property is still in the family. There's 1 acre on either side of the Pacific Coast Highway, which is just two lanes at that point. And it's an absolutely beautiful spot. The view from the front porch is over to the Pacific Ocean, and the Siuslaw National Forest rises from the backyard. So it's a magical place, and I wrote a song called Sea Rose Beach to just try to capture the spirit of that place as I saw it. And by the way, I said his name was Edgar Pierce, and that's not how I knew him. I knew him as Gonkey. For some reason, my great-grandparents were called Augie and Gonkey. And I don't know where that those names came from. Her name was actually Ella, and his name was Edgar, so I have no idea. But he was always it was always Augie and Gonkey to me. He died in 1968. And actually, I remember I was sitting at the dinner table back in Cornwall, New York, with my family, and I would have been 12 years old. And I remember my mom taking the phone call, letting her know that Gonkey had just passed away. So at that point, that is, by the way, right about the time, age 11 or 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there, I started playing guitar. So at that point, the harp guitar went into my uncle's basement in Portland, and it pretty much stayed there for the next 20 years. As I said, I really didn't know my relatives there, and even though my mom told me about the harp guitar that her grandfather had, and I had a picture of it, and I thought it was pretty interesting looking. You know, I had no clue what it sounded like or anything like that, and I didn't know the relatives on the West Coast well enough to feel like I could ask for it or whatever. I just didn't know them. But finally in 1988, I went out and reestablished contact with my relatives there. It was actually because my grandmother, my mother's mother, was very ill and in the hospital, and my mom was going out, and as it turned out, her mother died while we were out there. But I went out with my mom to kind of be, give her some support, and that's really when I started to reestablish contact with my relatives out there. And since 1988, I've really gone out nearly every year, and I know them all now, and just making up for lost time for a lot of years when we didn't really know each other. So in 88, going back, we wound up at my uncle's house, and we went down in the basement and brought the harp guitar up to the living room, and I sat on the couch and tuned it up as best I could and played it for about 5 minutes, and my uncle said, "This is yours," and that was fine. I was very, very happy to hear that. So at that point, I had to, I arranged to have it shipped back to Virginia, where I lived, and I had to figure out what to do with this thing. I had all these extra strings to try to figure out what to do with. You know, this is a little bit before the internet, and so as far as I was concerned, it was pretty much a wide open instrument. It was a new instrument. I realized this had, been around a long time, but I had to, there was no obvious repertoire that existed that I was aware of, and I really didn't take a whole lot of time to do any research or whatever. I just kind of looked at it as an instrument that I could do whatever I wanted to do with, without any regard for what might have come before. And I'm glad it worked that way, because I think I sort of happened into my own style of my own way of playing the instrument. And I'd already been making my living as a musician for some time by the time I got the harp guitar. And so it was just a matter of kind of extrapolating general guitar ideas and general musical principles and applying them to the instrument with the extra strings. First thing I had to do was decide how I was going to tune it, because I really didn't know how my great-grandfather had tuned it. If I had been paying closer attention, I would have looked in the little box that came with it that had a lot of his strings and his picks and capos and odds and ends of things, and I would have realized that the first sub-bass string, the one closest to the sixth string of the guitar, that he tuned that to an E-flat, and then he dropped down to D, C, B, A, G. What I thought was, when I picked up the thing, I had to figure out how to tune that first sub-bass string. And I tried various things, but what I decided I wanted to have was, I wanted to have an open G right there. I wanted to have the equivalent of the third fret of the sixth string as an open string. And I wanted to be able to, you could tune down an A string and have that, but I still wanted to have my A string. So I just made that first sub-bass a G, and I loved the way it sounded. And that I could sort of noodle around up higher on the fretboard of the regular part of the guitar and do things there, and yet still have a nice low G underneath. And then going down from there, I just went down D, C, B, A, which, as it happens, was exactly the way my great-grandfather had played it. And then I had to decide for the last sub-bass string, was I going to go to a G, which would have been an octave below the initial G, or something else. And I settled on the G. And so the key of G just made the instrument come alive to my ears. And a number of other keys worked really well also. So that's where I started. That was my standard tuning for the instrument, and just where I, even to this day, where I start out. This is now 2009, so I've been playing harp guitar for 21 years at this point. So I've had a blast taking it around to different places around the United States and overseas, this original harp guitar, and then others that have followed, just taking it around and watching people react to the wonderful sound that harp guitars make. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.